Free hits or free fall, plans with and without it for blank game week 32, which Liverpool are we leaning towards? Is Saka still a certainty? And for once, there's an actual captaincy debate. Hello everyone, welcome back to the FPL pod. Whether your free hit is active or not, hopefully over the next 40 minutes or so, we can help your team. Sam Bonfield and Julian Ron, as always, providing the questionable expert analysis, more usuals than Sam. Sam, how was game week 31 for you?
Oh, so I remember sitting here on this pod last week and going, I'm waiting for Ten Hag to kind of say something about Rashford so we'll all know whether we should be selling him or keeping him. And then he made those comments about it should be available for the Sevilla game, second leg. So I thought, oh, I'll keep him. And then didn't really know what to do. So very, very unlike me, I made a transfer on the morning of the deadline.
Ooh.
Which is a rule that, an unwritten rule of mine.
That's the kind of thing I do in my panics.
Yeah, me too.
Kelly, honestly, it's an unwritten rule of mine that I never do that, but decided that's what I was going to do and brought in Trent Alexander-Arnold. So actually my game week ended up going really nicely because Trent had an absolute stormer with his two assists. So his 9 points came in very, very handy and I sold Ben Chilwell for him. So feeling sort of a little bit smug this week because finally we get a good transfer that immediately paid off.
It's not like you to be the smug one on this podcast. We reserve that spot especially.
It's normally Jules.
For Jules.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was not smug at all. My game week was the worst of the season with 42 points. Just nothing worked basically apart from Erling Haaland, the captain, and his 24 points. And Kepa in goal. I mean, just because he made a lot of saves, really, that's all. So it was a week to forget, please. Thank you very much.
Well, the reason I'm even more pleased we've got our guest on this week is because, Jules, he's actually a friend of yours. So yeah. I think he's probably, hopefully, going to side with me a little bit in terms of calling you out. You're trying to hide. You're trying to brush it under the carpet that you had a bad week. Nader Manua, we are not going to allow that, are we? You work with Jules a lot. When we've got Jules in this position, we have to take advantage of it, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, Jules early in the season, he was my idol. He was doing so well. I was struggling so much. But then in listening to Sam, yourself, reading all the stuff on the app as well, before you know it, I started to climb through the ranks. And weeks like this, where I get 82 points and he gets 40 what?
82 points?
That's double.
Doubled his points.
He said 40 what?
I mean, ridiculous. It's the first time you go above 50, isn't it, this season?
Hey, listen, points are points, my friend. Points are points. They make prizes at the end of the season. I had a fantastic week. I took through listening to what people were saying about the blank game week that's to come, I decided to go -4, but I brought in Salah and Ben White. So Ben White on Sunday, when he gets the assist, the early doors in the game, I was like, yep. And then I was in a great position going into the Leeds-Liverpool game. And Salah just does what Salah does. So I had a fantastic week, even though Saka missed the penalty. But Jules, you don't know what I'm talking about. But don't worry about that. It's all good.
Anything you want to say back, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you listened to me when I told the whole world a few weeks ago to get Salah in because, you know, he was going in big games and he had that momentum. So I'll take some credit for your very good week. I mean, again, you know, I'm glad that finally, eventually you do well in this game. So
hey, well, Julian, I'll be honest. The last time I was on this show, I was in the mud. Yeah. Since then, I've paid real attention to what people like Sam and others have been saying. And I've risen up 4 million places because I paid attention to what everybody was saying. You see, I looked at it and I've had some fantastic weeks. And this week, it's a good week. It's not as good as the week when I had the 20,000th best score, but it's a good week. So I'll take that. Thank you very much.
Could have been much worse than what it was before, to be fair. So, 4 million up. We can't go 4 million up because we're already too high. But yeah, it's good.
I hope I don't catch you, Jules. I hope I don't catch you because you'll never hear the end of it.
The thing is, though, Kelly, you've had a good week as well. And you're now 44 points ahead of Jules. Like, your lead is extending.
No, it's all right. All right.
Thank you for bringing that up because I was going to save him it. And I, unlike Jules, I don't like going too early because there's still a few game weeks left, so I was going to keep quiet, but yeah, I've picked up a little bit.
You're on the climb.
There's still time.
Yeah, I got into the top 400k and then Mo Salah happened, and so I've just fallen just out of it once again, but got a few
chips. You've
got
that wild card left, Kelly. You're in a great position.
Yep, I've got a wild card which I'm going to
pressure on you
next week.
You better do well with that wild card, I tell you that.
This week. And I've still got a bench boost left, Jules. So
if you don't do well with your chips, you know what's going to come on the show. So you better. I'm just saying, you better do well.
Yeah. I've actually gone a little bit early there. I wasn't going to mention any of that because of this reason.
I can't wait for Kelly's Wild Card Week because the panic text that we are going to get is going to be brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been discussing it for a while, but I think next week is almost the last opportunity. Otherwise, it's completely pointless having it. So yeah, it will be activated next week. That is, of course, because this week I'm going to be activating my free hit like so many others. Nadim, tell us, are you activating yours or have you used it?
I wish I could go back in time and get it again, but unfortunately I panicked when the Queen died and I used it then. But to be fair, my team's in a good spot. I only need to make one transfer this week should I want to get 11 players playing. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. And hopefully the ones that do hit that free hit, possibly like yourself, it's not going to be separating me from you guys any more than it already is, I would say.
Yeah, there's going to be a real divide. There's already a 50-50 divide on this podcast. Jules and Nadim with no free hit, myself and Sam with ours both active. But Sam, that's interesting, isn't it? Hearing Nadim say that, because he's saying he's not used it, but he has prepared for it. And there will be managers that have known this blank game week is coming, and like we did as well, and just said, actually, I can get there without using it. So that's what the decision comes down to, doesn't it? How many players you've got? How many players do you think you need to have this week?
Well, I think Nadim's absolutely right. I think if you've prepared and brought in players like Salah in advance, then you're absolutely set up that you can avoid a disaster with not having a free hit this week. So there will be many managers that are in a nice position. I don't think that you have to have a full team of 11 out, particularly if that means taking out somebody like maybe Rashford or one of the big hitters from Man City who you're going to want for their double game week a couple of weeks later. If it means having 10, but you keep all of those guys that you set up for 34 better, then I think that that's fine. I think the thing you have to ask yourself is, if I take out this player to ensure that I get a full 11 out, am I compromising myself moving forward? And if the answer to that is, well, yes, because I've got to sell a big hitter like Grealish or Haaland, then maybe the answer is just go in with 10, maybe even go in with 9.
Jules, how are you feeling? How's the team looking? Because I know last week you were having to base your transfers around building for this week. So how's the team set up as it stands?
I would make the two transfers this weekend and potentially take a -4. I think what's interesting, if you're like me or like Nadim and you need to do your transfers basically for the blank game week, that in game week 34, you'll have some teams who still play in 32 who will have double game week as well. So Liverpool are one, Fulham are one, but the two games in that double game week are really tough because I think they're City and Liverpool. So maybe, you know, Fulham is maybe risky, and then West Ham. So maybe try to bring in some players who are from those teams who are playing in game week 32 and then also have double game week on 34 like Brighton will have and City will have and etc. So it's probably where I will look at. And we mentioned last week that Liverpool were interesting after the Leeds, the destruction of Leeds. They are, I think, even more interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about Liverpool very shortly. But Nadim, quickly, how's your team set? Because I'm looking at it now and it's obvious that you have been planning for this game week. Are you going to get a full 11 out?
Thank you. Do you know, this means so much to me. The last time I was on here, like
don't
I said,
cry,
I was
cry.
A disaster. I'm so emotional,
I
honestly.
I feel like this is a real progress pod, Nadim, because
honestly,
last time I think we hammered you.
But rightly so. But this is my second season playing the game. And after we had the podcast last time, I really started playing the actual game. So this rise that I've had, it's not going to be finishing
Sam,
up near
I
the top.
I feel proud.
Yeah, I'm proud of us.
Nathan is like a baby.
He's the podcast baby.
He's
we're
like our
him
apprentice.
On a journey.
Look, we've taken him on a
just
journey.
Value. Yeah. I pay attention. Do you know what? I'm so excited for next season. I'm going to be locked in from minute one. Pre-season
yes.
chats, everything. But
let's get Nathan on the pre-season pods
yes.
next season as
listen,
well.
I am all in. Like you don't even realize. But yeah, going into this week, I've still got some of my bigger hitters in there. I've got Kane, I've got Watkins, I've got Salah in there, the Arsenal players. It doesn't feel as good as it potentially could, but when I look at the other games that are in motion, there's nowhere that's really obvious where I feel like I could potentially be losing out. And the only change I have, I know this is maybe a bit controversial, is I had De Gea in my team. So he's got a blank game week. And I did have Ward, who was the backup for 2/3 of the season in terms of just being able to get some points. So that's where I'm looking to make the change. But my finances are a little bit tight, so I might not necessarily be bringing in somebody that's spectacular. But considering it's for one game week only, I guess it could potentially be worth it.
I think I'm doing the maths here, and that will take you to 11 playing players if you change your goalkeeper. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. That's right. So I'm there. I'm right there. It's a good team, and it took a long time for me to get to a spot where it was a good team, but it exists. And all those players have been printing points over the last 2-3 months. It's been nice to have them, to see those notifications pop up on my phone and say, yep, that's more points for me. So yeah, I'm good, Kelly. I'm in a great spot.
And you've got the three premiums as well in Salah, Haaland and Kane, which a lot of managers are going to be looking to get to. So.
See this? Locked in. Locked in, Sam. I'm in a good spot, I told you.
Sam, what if managers do have a free hit and are thinking there might be a better game week to use it in? What would you say to those managers?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because for some managers, you'll look at your team this week and go, well, I've got 10 and I've probably got the best 10 because I've got, you know, three Arsenal in there already, or I've got a Salah or a Trent or somebody like that in there too. And I could get an Eze or somebody like that this week and have a really nice team for this time around. If that's the case, then I think there is definitely scope here for not free hitting this week, and for instead using the free hit chip in game week 34 and playing the double, because that is something that FPL managers in the past have really liked doing. Because when teams have got the double game week, and particularly when a few teams have got a double game week, you can really exploit the fixtures that they have and go all in on the teams that have got the good fixtures. So if you have found yourself in a position where you've saved your free hit for 32, but actually you're looking at your squad thinking, I don't really see the benefit or the value here, then you could look to play in 34 instead and maximise the double.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers of people that have currently activated the chip. As it stands, over 201,000 have activated it. That's risen sharply, hasn't it, Sam? Because I think this time yesterday it was around 110,000. So people are gradually opening the app during the week and I think panicking when they're looking at their teams.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when I was looking at the numbers that have already played the free hit chip this season, it's only about 1.4 million. So I was expecting these free hit numbers to be much, much bigger than they have been so far. But I do think a lot of managers have been waiting for the European football in midweek to kind of be over. And we've still got some conference football to play. We've still got some Europa League football to play. So I wonder if on Thursday evening, we might see a big bulk of a free hit chip suddenly become active, or maybe managers might even wait until Friday morning. But if you do that, make sure that you're careful because it is a Friday deadline this week.
Yes, it is. I should also say that listeners have probably realised, but we are recording on Thursday morning as we usually do. So that's why we're not talking about those Europa League games, because we haven't seen the likes of Manchester United, not that they play this weekend anyway. But yeah, lots could still happen between now and that earlier deadline. Let's take a look at the moves that managers might make if they don't have a free hit, because I'm intrigued as to whether, Jules, you're going to be targeting the same players that us with our free hit active are going to be targeting, because we're just looking at one fixture in isolation. You've got to look at the slightly longer term. So which teams are you particularly targeting?
Yeah, and the money as well. Like Nathan was saying, if you don't have much money in the bank, then it's difficult. I would love Salah, for example, because I really think, like we were saying a few weeks ago, that Salah could finish the season on a roll. And suddenly the form that we saw in the last few games, and Nathan was really good at bringing him, but Salah cost a lot of money. So right now I can't afford him. Gakpo is really the only one that I could bring him now, with the players that I want to move out and the money that I have available, which is still good. And I think Gakpo can do really well against Forest, for example. Then there will be the double game week in 34. So it's not a bad shout. But ideally, I would love a Salah, which is someone that maybe you can bring in your free hit chip, which I can't right now with the money. So I think the free hit offers you obviously more possibilities and many more options than for someone like me and Nathan, who would be tied up with the money that we have in the bank.
Yeah, unlike you though, Nadim has managed to already get Mo Salah
right,
in.
Is the Nadim on who I sure? I missed something in the script.
I listened to the experts.
Unfortunately for you, he's made some good moves this week. But it's good to have managers of all ability on this podcast, Jules, so we can reach out to all a variety of listeners.
I need to get ahead of this. I'm behind Julian. I'm behind him in the standings.
Not for much longer.
People know. We don't need to say, you know.
But I'm a lot closer than I was not that long ago, Julian. Remember that, yeah?
I know.
But I think for this week, I'm so happy to have Salah in my team. And it's been weird saying that, because to this point, he's been a bit iffy. He still gets the points, but when you watch it, it gives you like stress because he's so expensive. But when he's printing the points the way that he did in that last game, it feels nice. It feels worth it, especially given the fact that Rashford's been out as well. But I'm also thinking, You know, I'm lucky enough to have had Watkins over the last, say, 10 game weeks as well, where I think he's only been one time where he's blanked. But I'm looking now at, like, Jared Bowen, maybe? Could he potentially be somebody that does something, potentially? I think he's had 7, 6, and 5 in his last three outings in the last game against Arsenal. He was exceptional. And I think this is a problem in my brain. I can't fully separate fantasy football from, like, football. But I believe, especially for someone that's owned by, I think it's only 3.6% of total players, is there a tease there? Is that something that could work? What do you reckon, sir?
I mean, I actually love the Bowen pick. He's one that I've been thinking about quite a lot on my free hit this week because he's such a differential. And I think the benefit of the free hit is that obviously you can go a bit rogue. You can pick somebody just because they've got a nice fixture or because they might get some attacking returns in that game. I think where the free hit and the transfers differ this week are going to be, as George said earlier, if you go for somebody like West Ham, Fulham and Liverpool, then you know that you've got the benefit of playing this week and also having the double in a few weeks' time. And Kelly, you've got the benefit of being able to free hit this week, kind of try before you buy and then wildcard them in. I don't have my wildcard, so I'm going to bring in players like potentially Bowen, but also Salah on my free hit and then have to work out how do I get them back in again for the double in 34. So this is where the strategy of not free hitting could actually pay off, because I couldn't see myself ending up in a situation this week where I have Salah, he does well, and then I look at my team for game week 33, midweek next week, and think, right, I've basically got 7 days now to work out how I get Mo Salah back in my team again with my transfers, which is going to be tough because, as Jules said, affording him is hard. Unless you're prepared to sell Harry Kane. And we all know my feelings on that one.
Oh.
Jules, are you tempted to try and sell Harry Kane or anything like that to try and get Salah in?
I mean, yeah, that's one of the ideas, really. I mean, I think Kane has been fantastic, and the goals that he scored, considering how bad or average Spurs have been, and certainly in terms of service to him, is pretty amazing, I think. But Salah is owned now by 30% of the managers, which is high considering there was a point where he was not even in our, thoughts, really, because Liverpool were a bit struggling and so was he. But now I think he's very, very different. And I don't know, Spurs at the last weekend looked... Sorry,
poor.
Sam, I thought of you,
poor.
I mean, against Bournemouth at home, it was very difficult. And you could see Ken struggling a bit now more than he has this season, because I still think it was an amazing season from his point of view, considering how very poor the team has been around him. And maybe it's the time to replace Kane by Salah.
Sam, if you are like Jules and you can't quite get to Salah and you don't have your free hit active, do you think that a Liverpool attacker, whether it is Cody Gakpo, whether it is Diogo Jota, whether it is someone else, I don't know, do you think that should be an essential priority in terms of transfers?
I think it's really hard because we saw Luis Diaz come on at the back end of Monday night's game for like 8 or 9 minutes, get a bit of game time in. We obviously know that he's got Firmino, who's coming to the end of his Liverpool journey, that he's going to get minutes over the last few weeks of the season. We've got Darwin Nunez, who could come in and replace Jota. So there's so much rotation potential across the rest of that Liverpool attack that I think if you're free hitting, going for somebody like Gakpo makes a lot of sense. But if you're trying to get them because you want them more longer term, that might be an issue because you just never know when they might miss a game through rotation. Probably not going to miss an entire game through rotation, but as Luis Diaz gets more match fitness under his belt, could we see, him take minutes out of somebody like a Gakpo? Could we see Jota and Darwin Nunez rotating that position? Lee and I had this conversation last night because obviously as much as I wallow in my misery for this weekend, he was very pleased with the Liverpool result. But he was, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll get Jota. And he was like, I don't know. I think he might start Darwin against Nottingham Forest because you're going to need a different style of play in a game against Forest at home to what you needed against Leeds at Elland Road on Monday night. And I think that's the concern, is if you are doing a longer term transfer in rather than a free hit 1 week pick, do you give yourself a rotation headache moving forward?
Yeah, I guess that is now the problem with Nade. And we've been used to that from your team, Manchester City, in terms of rotation. But now Jurgen Klopp has got all these players coming back. It's hard to know who will start week in, week out, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. But then I think most people would lean towards Salah being the guy that's most likely to start.
Yeah, Salah's the exception, right? Yeah,
exactly. But then at the price point that he's at, how many people can afford to somehow find a way to just bring him in easily? It's tough because you can sort of talk yourself into anything. Like, oh, Luis Diaz is back. That's good. Maybe I'll pick him. And then he might not play for two games because now it's this guy, it's Nunes, it's Jota. And it's such a tease because these next fixtures are just so enticing. They're just right there. Liverpool at home to Forest, it's right there. But then before you know it, like I'm just very happy I've got Salah in my team. And he might not get any points from this moment forward, but it feels like I've got something that people want. And I've waited a long time for that. So yeah, picking the right one's tricky, but I think we kind of know the right one, but can everybody sort of match that price and get them into their side?
Just on the swap quickly, Sam, before you go on the swap between Kane and Son, let's remind people the next three fixtures for Spurs, because it's Newcastle away, United at home and Liverpool away, which we know that Kane scores against the top teams in the big games. This is not a problem, but still, this is three huge games for Spurs who are fighting for top four, fifth place, etc. with Liverpool actually not that far behind with the game in hand on Spurs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keep that in mind as well when you see the Liverpool and Salah schedule that Nathan just said and the one for Kane and Spurs.
So because Spurs have got big fixtures, do you mean that's the best time to back them or the right time to pull away from them, Jules, at this end of this part of the season?
Could mean either.
Yeah, but probably if you're thinking that maybe this is the time for Salah, maybe more than Kane, then you can get in Salah and sell Kane, because the three games, I mean, Kane can score. Of course, he can score in any of them. But considering Spurs' forms right now, you can also see Kane and them not doing that well with two away games at Newcastle and Liverpool and then at home to United.
I mean, I think the other thing is that in that forward front three spot, there are so many good options right now because obviously Jesus has come back in firing form. We've already bigged up Ollie Watkins a lot on this pod and in previous pods. He's just phenomenal right now. Potentially, you know, with Liverpool, you might want to go to Jota and he's registered as a forward in the game rather than a midfielder. So there are other players there that you could replace Kane with and free up a substantial block of money, which you can then use to invest in the midfield and get Salah. Absolutely. I think if you don't want to do that, or you still don't have enough money because you don't want to sell, you know, somebody that's in that kind of 8-9 million bracket in the midfield, you know, you want to hold on to a Saka or somebody like that because they also play this week. And I think that's the other problem. If you're using your transfers, if you're talking about selling Kane and probably somebody along the Saka lines in order to fit Salah in, you're taking out two of your players that feature this week and replacing them with, you know, another two. So you're not actually fixing your number of players that you've got to play this week problem. So that's something you do have to consider if you're doing it that way. I think the other thing that you could consider with Liverpool is just not going with one of the attackers if this is the issue that you have, and instead picking somebody like Trent Alexander-Arnold, because you're going to get attacking returns and the clean sheet should, I mean, Liverpool and clean sheets haven't exactly gone hand in hand lately, but they should get a clean sheet, I would expect, against Nottingham Forest. And we're seeing, you know, this new inverted fullback role for Trent, which has meant that his touches where he's getting the ball have been so much improved. So maybe, Jules, that's the compromise that you make and you risk no Salah, but you have Trent.
Yeah, I think just to finish on that, I think if the swap between Salah and Kane was just straightforward, as in, you know, but you didn't have to do a midfield and a striker kind of swap transfer, be much easier and maybe more appealing. It's true that now if you want to get rid of Kane to bring in Salah, you need to do a bit of tinkering in the middle.
Okay then, Jules, who are you feeling you desperately need for this game week then, and obviously beyond with your transfers?
I think a Liverpool player for sure. So whatever I can afford and what I can do, but Sam is right. You could also bring a defender like Trent or even Robertson, because you could see them seeing the rotation up front will happen, I think, in the next few weeks for sure. But seeing how much Liverpool can still finish the season well and still have enough games to come back top four, still look 9 points behind Newcastle with the same amount of games played. That might be a bit too far away, but fifth place and Spurs, as we said earlier, is more doable. So I think Klopp will rotate because he's got all those options up front. But for the rest, you could easily see Curtis Jones, for example, who had a really good game on Monday night. You could see easily seeing him staying in that midfield until the end of the season. Same with Van Dijk, of course, Trent and Robertson, who can play every single minute pretty much of every game until the end of the season. So I think maybe a Robertson or a Trent, if you can afford it, maybe even Alisson in goal if you need a goalkeeper like me and Nadum will be looking in. But yeah, I think Liverpool right now with a game this week and a double game week in 34 are a must.
It's interesting you've mentioned Robertson there because a lot of people will be maybe trying to get one of those two in, him or Trent Alexander-Arnold. Jules, do you not feel that Alexander-Arnold is worth the additional bit of money given the fact that he looks like he's getting further forward at the moment than Robertson?
No, for sure. If you can have Trent, I would go for Trent ahead of Robbo. And like Sam explained briefly earlier, this kind of new position where he almost plays as a midfield when Liverpool have the ball, which we saw in the second half against Arsenal, which turned the game around pretty much, or certainly asserted the dominance of Liverpool. And then against Leeds, it was really fantastic. Some of the deliveries, the assist for Darwin especially, was an absolute beauty that when he plays in that position, enables him to do really and to deliver. So yeah, Trent right now is more in form and certainly in that new position that you would expect him to pick again against Forest and against West Ham, I would think too. There's no reason why that club would change. Is very, very appealing.
I think when you look at Robertson against Leeds, of his touches that he had across that game, only 18.1% of them happened in the final third. Now, that's worrying as a Robertson potential owner or somebody that already has him, if you do, because that's the second lowest percentage of the campaign that he's had in that part of the pitch. So he is getting up there less. It doesn't mean he doesn't attack at all, because he had plenty of opportunities and he still did get into attacking position. But he wasn't getting as many touches there as we would normally see from him. And if he doesn't have as many touches in the final third, it means he's less likely to get those attacking returns. And when the clean sheets have been erratic at best for Liverpool this season, you want to ensure that the defender you get has got some potential for upside. And I think you get a lot more of that with Trent, and therefore spending the extra money is well worth it.
Okay, so if you can afford Trent, go there. I think potentially on my free hit. At one point, in fact, I had both of them, and now I think I'm just going to stick with Trent. But it kind of changed a lot after watching that Leeds game on Monday night. Nadim, just while we round off the chat about transfers, if you aren't using your free hit, particularly for this week to ensure you don't lose any rank and don't fall too far behind people that are activating their free hit, are there any priority transfers you think people should be making? Any other teams?
I think it's tough. I think I'd potentially be looking maybe at Crystal Palace. I think it's their first home game since Hodgson's come in. And, you know, someone like Eberezie feels really obvious in this moment. But I don't know what the opposite of kryptonite is, but Roy Hodgson certainly is that for him. He's been on fire. And then you sort of wonder about Leeds as well. Leeds are going to become the sort of like whipping boys of the league for the amount they've conceded. Is there a way to be thinking about a Fulham player, maybe someone like Pereira, given the fact that he takes penalties now, Mitrovic has gone on a like, and again, it's a tease. I don't think these are the, outside of the real obvious like Liverpool and Arsenal setup, I don't think these are really obvious in terms of anyone to clearly bring in. So that's why I think it's all right, in my opinion, to not have had the free hit for this week, because you'll kind of end up falling in the same sort of place that lots of people do. So yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know. I'm not the expert. I would refer to Sam, and I'm going to listen to everything she says from this point forward.
So I think it's the defenders that could be the really interesting ones here. And when you look at expected goals conceded over the last six game weeks, obviously Manchester City have been expected to concede the least because they don't allow people to get down that end of the pitch. They spend so much time attacking themselves. But when you look at the clubs that sit just behind them, it's Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. And there is the opportunity, I think, for managers that are free hitting as well as not free hitting to get some cheap defenders in that frees up budget. So if you want to go with the likes of Mark Gahey, with the likes of Anderson at Crystal Palace, the likes of Moreno or Mings at Aston Villa, they allow you the opportunity to invest in two informed teams, because both Palace and Villa are some of the best football that I'm watching in the league at the moment is coming from those two. You can get there. They've got fixtures where you could see clean sheets happening. And if you go with somebody like Moreno at Aston Villa, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, his potential for attacking returns is there too, because we've had a couple of assists out of him recently. So I think for me, that's what I'd be looking to do. I'd be looking to kind of play carefully. And I think Pereira is a great shout because, again, he has the double in 34. But if you're struggling with your defenders because, you know, you want to have three Arsenal attackers, and that means not having a Ben White or a Gabriel in there, or, you know, you're struggling to afford to have somebody like Trent, then looking at the Palace and the Villa defences, I think is where I would go.
Okay, let's come on to managers that are free hitting then. The benefit of playing your free hit, of course, is that you can be a little bit more rogue, or in my case, you can kind of try before you buy. You can pick players who have a good fixture, but maybe you wouldn't necessarily want to hold longer term. And Sam, certain teams' fixtures really stand out this week, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, we've talked a lot already about Liverpool, but Arsenal against Southampton on Friday evening, that really sticks out for me as well. And, you know, a few weeks ago, or at the beginning of, you know, when we came back after the World Cup, I think we'd have gone, oh, Aston Villa versus Brentford, I'll get some Brentford players. But now it's completely flipped and we're kind of no longer looking at the bees, and we're really focusing in on the villains and what we can kind of get from them. And I think Ollie Watkins is a no-brainer. If you're free hitting, I think trebling up on Villa looks like the real deal. You can have Moreno. I'd go with Buendia as well as part of that midfield, because he's got that real nice chemistry now with Ollie Watkins. And Watkins said in his interview after the game, the boss has told everyone to look for me. And it's like, well, that's perfect, isn't it? As an FPL manager, that is like music to my ears. I want everyone looking for my forwards. So I think going in with lots of villains also makes sense. I think a couple of punts along the way also makes sense. And then, of course, you go Crystal Palace, whether you want to go Elise and Eze. I think what I found, Kelly, so far with my free hit, though, is I can get a fabulous squad of 15. And then I keep looking at it thinking, who on earth am I going to bench this week? Because I've got, you know, a couple of Palace players in there. I've got Villa players in there. I've got obviously three from Liverpool and three from Arsenal. And then I'm struggling because I'm thinking, well, how do I get all of these into my starting
11? I can't
believe
you're moaning when you have your free hit to play. Like, I would give anything to be in your
position. Do you
want
to borrow some, Jules? I'll lend you some.
Sam would like to be able to bench boost as well as free hit this week.
I would. Wouldn't that be a great opportunity? But I think it's hard because you're taking out the premium assets, you know, because you're not going to be having City players in there, because you're not going to have Manchester United players in there. You haven't got to spend the level of budget that you normally would. And the teams that we're looking to target, Crystal Palace, Aston Villa, to some extent also Arsenal, they're not expensive. These are players that, you know, fit nicely into budget. Martinelli, Jesus, for what they are offering, such great value for money. So I built a free hit squad, then looked at the money in the bank and thought, how have I got 6 million sitting in my bank?
Six,
and I've got
wow.
15 players that I would arguably want to play this week. It's really tough, I think, to work out what to do. And I know that I'm going to bench some of the wrong ones.
Yeah, we always do. You're talking to a serial Gabriel Martinelli bencher over here. I've learnt my lesson. He will be starting this week. Talking of Arsenal, Jules, obviously, if you're on a free hit, I'm guessing your advice would be three Arsenal. They're at home on Friday night, two Southampton. Sorry to mention it, but they need to get 3 points, unlike in the past couple of games. Who are the three that if you had your free hit active, you would go for this weekend?
I think not forget about the defenders as in per se, but just focus on the attackers, because I think you can see already what kind of game it would be. And Southampton will play on the counter and can do something, of course, like we saw them doing a little bit at times this season. But really, it's three amongst Gabriel Jesus, Martinelli, Saka and Odegaard. And you pick really the three that you think could be the most impactful and decisive for your team and for Arsenal on Friday night, because it would be an attacking fest from them. You know they would attack and they just would be relentless all the time with the ball, because not just they have to win that game before going to City, of course, next Wednesday, but also because of the last two games and the points that they dropped against Liverpool and West Ham. So it would be there. It's just, if you feel that maybe Saka after the penalty miss, you know, is maybe not in the best of form, if you go for Odegaard, who's, again, in the last few games, maybe hasn't been as sharp physically, like same for Saka, to be fair, than what we've seen earlier in the season. Gabriel Jesus, we mentioned him. We knew that he would come back, but he only played an hour, for example, against West Ham. So that's all part of your thoughts. But really, I think it should be three of the four.
Okay, so three of those four. Don't look too much at the defence. Saka's an interesting one, Nadim, because he's highly owned in the game. We've had a bit of a frustrating time with him recently. Should you be holding him on your free hit, do you feel like, this week? Do you feel like if you sell him for home to Southampton, it could leave you in a world of trouble, and it could be even worse than when I've had to watch Martinelli's points on my bench.
The Martinelli factor, yeah, that's definitely an issue. Yeah, Saka in the last three games, I think he's had a 0, 1, and 1. That's not really what I was expecting from somebody who the week before got 18 points and propelled me up the league. So I don't know. I think that Arsenal are in an interesting spot because Arteta hasn't really liked to rotate too much, but he does have someone like a Trossard who can come and play, and he does have Gabriel Jesus keen to be starting regularly. And I don't know. I feel like I can't let him go. I think he's worth keeping hold of. I think he is, because I don't want to be in your situation where you're just watching him just put on a masterclass and you're thinking, well, look at everything that I could have won. Whereas I think if you keep him in, he ends up with nothing, then maybe you can roll into the next game and feel okay about yourself, I would say.
Yeah, I've got him in my current team, so I could just free hit him out for this week and then decide whether to get rid of him longer term on my wild card. So that's a try before you buy, but the opposite way.
That free hit would hurt you though.
My free hit's going to hurt me regardless.
This is true.
Sam, are you going to keep Saka in on your free hit?
Yeah, I think so. So the way I see a free hit is it's an opportunity to gain a march on those that don't have it. But in order to gain that march, you also have to, with some players, counteract who is heavily owned amongst the non-free hit community. So players like Saka come with a high ownership. So he's owned by 40% of the game right now, just over 40% of the game. If I don't have him as part of my free hit against Southampton, who he's going to get plenty of attacking threat potential from, he's going to hurt my rank. So what I will do with my free hit team is keep the players that are going to be potentially painful to watch, not having, and then fill the rest of the squad around with some good, lowly owned differentials so I can combat players that Jules and Needham and those guys that don't have their free hit have got, but expand my potential by bringing in a lot of players that are differentials and under 10% owned, because they are the ones that are going to boost my rank.
I tell you what, this feels like a nice time on the podcast to ask you, would you be willing to share your current free hit draft? Because I'm intrigued to know about these differentials.
You mean you want to copy? Is that what you mean? I'm just asking.
Yeah. In the interest of balance, Jules, I will then reveal mine straight after, okay?
Fair enough.
But no one will listen to mine. Everyone listens to Sam's, by the way.
So right now, and it might yet change because the Liverpool factor is still playing a massive part in my thinking. So currently, I've got Alisson as my goalkeeper this time, with Everson as the backup. In defence, I have got Anderson from Palace. I've got Trent. I've got Tyro Mings and Moreno from Aston Villa, and I've still got Trippier, more to be discussed on him, I think. In my midfield, I've got Saka, Salah, Eze, Martinelli, and Andreas Pereira. Up top, Kane, Watkins, and Jesus. So some standard, heavily owned picks alongside some nice, lowly owned differentials.
Okay, I'll reveal mine now so that people don't think that I listen to Sam's arguments for her players and then change it. And it is quite different, actually, which is refreshing but also scary if you're me. My goalkeeper is Johnston. This is my team as it's lined up at the moment, and I'll say my bench separately. So Johnston in goal, Alexander-Arnold, Trippier, Mark Gahey. Why am I getting so nervous about this?
Why are you shaking?
Salah, Eze, Gakpo, which I'm not sure on yet, and Martinelli. Up front, Watkins, Kane, Jesus. Then on my bench, I've got Pickford, Konsa, Totti and Murphy. Totti and Murphy definitely aren't going to start. Konsa is my confusion. I'll probably downgrade Pickford a little bit because of money. But as you said, Sam, money doesn't really feel like too much of an issue. I like to have a cheap second goalkeeper. So Everson makes the most sense. And I probably will go to that. But it's not like I need the money elsewhere. I've still got a couple of million in the bank, even with that team. But yeah, I've still got a few headaches there. And your point, interestingly, about Saka and not wanting to lose rank on the highly owned players isn't something that I'd actually thought about, but is something I need to consider. I, in opposite fashion to you, I'm chasing a little bit more. So I kind of want to take a couple of punts. That's why I quite like Cody Gakpo, because I'm like, that could give me an advantage. I'm trying to get closer to the top 100K. I'm not protecting a rank at this point. So it's a slightly different attack for me, I think.
The midfield five is really in demand because you're going to have Salah in there if you're free hitting. You're going to have Martinelli. You're probably going to want Eze or Elise, one of the two. So that basically leaves you with two spots. And if you want to prioritize your front three, then you've actually only got one midfielder spot left because you're going to have to bench one of your midfielders. So that's part of the reason I've got Andreas in there, because he's a cheap player that I'm usually happy to bench, although he is likely to be on penalties and he's playing against Leeds. So there is a big part of me that would like him in my starting 11, but I'm basically burning that slot and just focusing on the other four. Having two of them Arsenal, I think, makes sense. So there is a part of me that spent this week going backwards and forwards between Saka and Gabriel, because Gabriel has attacking threat and I think he's going to keep a clean sheet against Southampton. So if I did that, that would allow me to have Gakpo in the midfield, and then I would do what you've done, and instead of having Alisson, I'd have Sam Johnston as my goalkeeper, because he's going to start for Palace and they've been really good.
I've just actually realised I've actually only got two Arsenal attackers, because I did Saka to Gakpo last night, and now I've got three Liverpool and only two Arsenal, which actually doesn't sit that nicely with me. Do you think we need to have three on our free hit, Sam? Do you think we need to have three Liverpool and three Arsenal?
I do, yeah. I think it's contentious as to whether you go with two attackers, two defenders, particularly at Liverpool. I think the defence is the safer option in terms of rotation this week. But I think at Arsenal, you'd want two attackers in there, possibly three, probably three. I mean, I've got all three in Saka, Martinelli and Jesus. Obviously, I can't have Odegaard as well, otherwise I would have done against Southampton. But there is a bit of me that goes, well, if I didn't have one of those guys, then I can have an Arsenal defender who, you know, we've seen Ben White getting attacking returns left, right and centre. Gabriel, how he's not got an attacking return in the last couple of weeks, I do not know, because he's always up there. And I sit there watching Arsenal going, where's my attacking returns, Gabriel? Where's my goal? I think he will be the one that I lose on my free hit that I really regret losing at the end of my free hit, because all the non-free hitters will have an Arsenal defender in there, or most of them will have an Arsenal defender. They are likely to keep a clean sheet this week.
Jules, Sam mentioned that Kieran Trippier has stayed in her free hit. He stayed in mine as it stands as well. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, to be honest. You've, of course, got him already in your team and you won't get rid of him because he's got a fixture, of course. But it was interesting that Sam said more to be discussed on him, because what did you make of Newcastle last weekend? Because that was a pretty uncharacteristic performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was terrible. As good as Villa were, Newcastle were shockingly bad, really. And if you look at the last three games for Trippier, for example, but which gives you a sense of Newcastle as well, 2 points, 2 points and 1 point. And Nathan explained the Saka form for the last three games, which is very similar. It's just sometimes Newcastle concede goals now. And we've said that since that incredible run that they had without conceding for 3 months or something. Now they concede there, one there, three against Villa, of course, where they were really abject, as we said. It's not looking great in terms of the returns from Trippier in the last three game weeks. However, he still takes the pieces. I mean, it's only Spurs really this weekend. So I'm kidding. So.
Wow.
Spurs is going to be tricky. But you think that there will be a time where surely they don't concede anymore again, and they keep those clean sheets for Pope, for Botman, if you have, for Shaw, for Burn, whoever you have defensively, as well as Trippier on his own. Surely at some point that solidity that they need. Otherwise, you know, it could be a bit tricky for them this end of the season. So you would expect Eddie Howe to work on that solidity defensively and to go back to what made them so strong not that long ago, actually, defensively.
It's weird because they're a team going for Europe, going for the Champions League, Nadim. They've got a fixture this week. You'd think that we would all be looking at getting more than one Newcastle asset, yet we're all sitting here saying, yes, we're keeping Kieran Trippier on free hit, but we're not wild about other Newcastle players.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think I was almost caught up in the discussions about, do you go Isak or do you go Wilson as well? Just because what's the key for one starting over the other? But I think Newcastle win this weekend against Spurs, but I just can't see what it looks like. So as a consequence, it's tough to just decide who you're going to pin down. But they're in a great spot. And I think going down the road, this is why he sticks Kieran Trippier, because he takes set pieces. That's the one constant, it feels like. I think he's basically played every minute this season. But as for other people, you're just not sure. And a question for like US experts out there, is there a tease to potentially bring in like an Almiron now he's back fit again? Or is he just leave him in the side?
I think he's just a rotation risk waiting to happen. That's the problem with him, is that you're just never completely certain of starts and that kind of thing. Now, And as we get towards the back end of the season, most FPL managers will probably be taking money out of their benches to try to get the three premiums in Salah, Kane and Haaland. So if you're going to be trying to do that, then you need to make sure that your bench players are actually going to play, because you're going to have less options probably there. I mean, I'm planning to bench Trippier this week, in a shock. He's the one risk I'm going to take, I think, this time around, is I'm not going to play him, because Kane is third for expected goal involvements in the last six matches, just Salah and Haaland ahead of him. I don't see Spurs going to Newcastle and not scoring, because we can't defend. So we'll go and attack and try and score. So I don't think Newcastle clean sheet. I think we lose. I think Newcastle will win. But I think both sides score. And therefore, if I'm betting on both sides to score, then I'll play Kane and I'll bench Trippier. That's kind of where my headspace is. But this game is so hard to call, because neither side is playing particularly well in this moment. They're both having their struggles. Maybe they're both bottling the race for the top four a little bit. But we'll have to see what pans out on Sunday afternoon. But I'm going to play Kane. And I think even with the set piece threat, I'm going to bench Trippier, because we just haven't seen the clean sheets or the attacking threat that we had seen previously. So we were regularly seeing assists from Trippier. That's kind of dropped off in the last 6 weeks or so. So if we aren't seeing that anymore, and we think that there are teams that have better potential for clean sheets this week in the likes of Palace, even Fulham against Leeds, I don't think we should rule out a Fulham defender there. Bernd Leno in goal, if you want to go there. Maybe even Tim Ream. There's definitely a question mark for free hitters, I think. And I think Trippier could be a player that you don't play if you think Spurs are going to go and score in this one.
Okay, well, as always, we're going to end with transfers and captaincy. And Jules, you don't have Mo Salah, but who are you going to be giving your armband to?
No, I think it'd be Saka. I think he will have a big game against Southampton on Friday night. He owes one, in a way, after what happened at West Ham and the fact that maybe even against Liverpool, he was just not at his best like we've seen for most of the season. So I think this is a game that Arsenal are going to be so keen on, really, and rightly so, and Saka as well. So for me, it'd be Saka. And also, I don't have Salah against Forest, so Saka is an easy pick.
Okay, so Jules is going Saka, Nadim. You've already got Mo Salah. Are you going to be captaining him?
Well, I've got Saka as well. I was trying to see if Jules was going to convince me, and the answer is no, he didn't. So yeah, I'm very much going for Mo Salah in this one. And the Saka thing, like, it feels like he's going to be looking for redemption and the like, but I think in this Arsenal side right now, I think Martinelli feels more dangerous.
I feel like he ends
up being like higher. He's involved in more dangerous things. I feel like Saka's a more important part of the build-up, whereas Martinelli feels like he's the bigger threat to the opposition as it stands. So it doesn't feel 100% right going that way. But then for Salah, I think his thirst for goals has really been activated in recent times. And because they're playing against Nottingham Forest, the side that I think at this moment in time are the worst form-wise in the whole division, you know, Anfield's a tough place to go at the best of times. So I think I'm going to go with him, and hopefully we get like old school Salah scores, maybe five goals and all that stuff, you know, just a regular
six,
60 minutes then comes off. That would be nice. Seven. Why not? So that's what I'm hoping for from a fantasy football perspective.
Sam, you own both of those players, Mo Salah and Bukayo Saka. Which way are you going to go? And are there any names that perhaps we could also consider alongside those two?
I think there's a fair few. I'm going to go Salah. I think at home against Nottingham Forest, he is the standout pick for me. Plus, you know, I'm assuming he's still on penalties, even with the last couple of misses. Salah will be my captain. I think there are a few good other options. I think Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus are both better options for the captaincy at Arsenal than I think Saka is this week. Just to completely disagree with Jules, because why not? I also think that Ollie Watkins shouldn't be overlooked for the captaincy this week, because his form is unbelievable, and it's a nice enough looking fixture against Brentford. So I think if you don't have Salah, then you could look at any of those options. I think if you don't have Salah, but you do have Trent, he is also back in with the captaincy conversation. I know we all hate captaining a defender, because if the clean sheet goes, there's a risk you get nothing. But with the position that Trent is taking at the moment and the way that he is playing, he looks like he's going to get attacking returns. And therefore, with that coupled with the potential for a clean sheet. And if both happen, a bonus point haul, he could be a lovely differential captain.
But you're going to go with Salah, aren't you?
But I'm going to go with Salah because I'm boring, yeah.
Jules, I think that Nadim confirmed his transfer earlier. He mentioned about the goalkeeper. I'm intrigued. You've hinted a few things you might do with your two free transfers. You held them last week. You said you might even do a minus four. Can you end the podcast by giving us any gems or revealing any news about what those transfers are going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's not completely set in stone yet, but I like Fabianski in goal to replace Kepa or Johnston as you're going to go for Kelly as well, and keep Steele, who I fancy until the end of the season anyway. Trent, if I can make it happen somehow in midfield, I would probably go for Olise or Eze, one of the two Crystal Palace. I like Bowen, but Bowen is more expensive. And again, as we've been saying at the start of the show, it's just, it depends a lot on how much money you have in the bank and what you can do with your finances for that team that you try to build in a game week like this one, where some of the big players and the big teams are not playing. So yeah, this is pretty much the idea. It shouldn't be too far from that.
Well, good luck, Jules. Don't forget you've got to make up a 45-point deficit to me. So 44, don't take too big a hit,
so don't get over yourself. 44, it's not 45.
Okay, that's still...
He's going to be taking an 80-point hit this week, wasn't it? Ridiculous. Though, so.
I'm playing a free hit that I don't have, and you know.
Well, the very best of luck. Nadim, thank you for coming on once again. I feel like you are our pod project, like pod baby. So well done on all your improvements this
Listen,
season.
You guys are doing very, very well. Let's just say that. You guys are doing very well. Thank you for all your service. Thank you for all that you do.
Sam, thank you for coming on as well. Best of luck with your free hit.
Oh, fingers crossed. These chip weeks, they're the
scary
ones that stress
they?
Me the most. Yeah, because you're getting rid of loyal service from players that you really like having and replacing them with others, and you kind of sit there going,
it's okay. Southampton are going to win 1-0 and Forest as well. And then, you know, we're all going to be gutted next week.
Can you
Can't
imagine?
Believe you're saying Southampton are going to win 1-0 with a smile on
it's
your
just,
face,
and Forest 1-0 at Liverpool, and all, everything that we've said this week. Nah, I'm only kidding. It can't, surely can't
it's
happen.
It's because all of Jules' players this week are going to miss penalties, Kelly. You'll be 100 points ahead by the end of next week.
I'll take that, to be fair. Okay, well, reminder, the deadline, as Sam said earlier, is earlier this week. It's 6:30 p.m. UK time on Friday night before that Arsenal versus Southampton game that's going to finish 1-0 to Southampton. I'm going to be honest, I actually had a dream or a nightmare earlier this week, and I woke up in the biggest panic. And I always have these kind of dreams on weeks where there is an early deadline. I woke up that I'd missed the deadline. I woke up and that's what I dreamt. And the fear, I checked my team straight away and was like, actually, if I had missed the deadline, my team's okay. But in my dream, I'd played a team that still had four players without a fixture. So yeah, the deadline's 6:30 on Friday. I hope you don't have any hideous nightmares like me, guys. I think that says a lot about me. I'm an absolute loser. On that note, we'll be back on Monday next week instead of off the bench. That will be with you on Monday evening. Best of luck. Bye-bye.